I've got tissue up here this morning. Yeah, this might be a tissue message this morning, but I want to talk about dads this morning. I want to encourage dads. We're going to be looking at a verse this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And I tell you, it is a blessing to be a father. I have the four greatest kids. Each one of them love Jesus, are walking with Jesus. They married well. They have beautiful families, beautiful homes. And it is just a blessing to see my children walk with the Lord. They're not perfect. They didn't have perfect parents. But I want to be able to share my heart this morning. And I'm going to be talking about all four kids. So get ready this morning, okay? And yesterday, I received the best compliment from Mary, my daughter-in-law. I call her Dill. But she gave me the best compliment yesterday. She told Trevor, "You are just like your father." Now, she may not have used that type of inflection or tone, but I took it as a compliment. So, we had a great day weekend. We took a pontoon boat up at June Lake and went for fishing. That was my birthday present from last year. We didn't get to do that because there were some terrible fires going on in the Eastern Sierras, and we had to cancel that trip, and so we did it this Father's Day weekend. But there's a verse that we're going to look at. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this: "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Fathers, children, I was going to mess that up. I've already messed that up. But I was going to read this verse. "Children, do not provoke your fathers to anger, but do everything he says joyfully and without delay." Doesn't that sound like a great verse? But that verse isn't in the Bible, is it? The verse is, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." It's Father's Day, and I want to encourage you men this morning. I don't want to speak down to you. I don't want to discourage you. I just want to talk about what our call as men are, as dads, because God has given us a very specific call to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I pray that you're doing that today. I pray that this message will encourage you to continue to do that or to start to do that. But I want to begin first with Paul's admonition: "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Don't provoke them. I do a really good job at provoking my kids to anger, and I have to keep myself in check. But Paul was very specific here not to provoke our kids to anger. How do we provoke them to anger? This isn't an exhaustive list, but I've jotted a few things down. The first way that we provoke them to anger is by not listening to them, not taking them seriously, by saying, you know, "This is the way it's going to be, period," without hearing from them. You know, sometimes we have to say that, don't we, dads? "This is the way that's going to be. Discussion is over." But if that's the way we respond to every conversation, to every issue, you're not listening to them, and you are provoking their hearts to anger. Another way we provoke our kids to anger is in what they do is never good enough. You know, they'll do something. Maybe they'll do something without even being asked to do it. And instead of saying, hey, I appreciate the effort that you made. Thank you. But if you don't do that and you have a word of criticism, or you say, you know, but you could have done this a little bit better, that is defeating in their hearts that whatever they do isn't good enough. You need to recognize the effort that has been made. Maybe they need a little bit of encouragement to do a little bit better next time, but you need to recognize the effort and show appreciation rather than constantly criticizing. Another way, dads, we provoke our kids to anger is if we're all about rules, but never about the relationship. Rules without a relationship lead to rebellion. Relationship without rules leads to permissiveness. There needs to be a balance. But if you're all about rules and not about a relationship, it's a very legalistic household. There needs to be a relationship. No relationship, and that leads to a heart that is angry. Another way we provoke our kids to anger is by never trusting them. You know, I'm sure dads, we made a lot of mistakes when we were growing up, didn't we? And we remember those mistakes, and we see our children entering the teenage years, and we are reminded of the mistakes that we made, and so we don't want our kids to make those same mistakes. And so we bubble wrap them, we protect them, and we just keep them from having the opportunity to make those mistakes. And if we come across with an attitude that I don't trust you because I know what it's like to be a teenager, I know what's in the mind of a teenage boy, and I'm not going to let you go there. You know what? Our kids want us to know that we trust them, that they're going to make healthy and appropriate decisions. And there comes a point where we've got to just trust them. You know, as dads, we want our girls to be protected, don't we? And I know what it's like to have a shotgun at the door. I tried that one time when Emily had a date to her prom at school. Joseph came and picked her up. And I greeted Joseph at the door with my 12-gauge shotgun. And that didn't even scare him away. And today he's married to my daughter, and they have a beautiful little boy. They have a beautiful family. But dads, it's hard to watch your girls grow up and to like a boy. When Emily came to me and said, Dad, I like a boy, that threw me for a loop. Because we had an agreement when she was a little girl that she wasn't going to get married until she was 30 years old. And here she is today. What are you, 26 years old? 25. You know, it changes every year. And she broke that promise. But when she was in high school, I needed to trust her that she was going to make wise decisions. And she most certainly did. But we need to trust our kids. We need to give them opportunities to fail and to be there when they break your heart, when you got to pick up the pieces. I had a mother in my youth ministry when I was at Highland, Emmanuel Baptist Highland, and that mother had made lots of mistakes. And she was scared to death for her daughter, who is now a teenager. And she protected her. She controlled her every step of the way because she didn't want her to make those mistakes. And guess what? That backfired. And her daughter made the same mistakes that mom had made because mom didn't trust her daughter. So we need to learn to trust them. Another way we provoke our kids to anger, dads, are by abandoning them. Now, if you're a single mom in this service this morning, I know we have some single moms. I want to say here that you are in the right place. You need a church family. And we are here to minister to you and help fill the gap. You know, you heard Hillary Clinton say years ago, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I don't know about that, but it takes a church to raise a child. My kids wouldn't be who they are today had it not been for the church. Had it not been for the volunteers who were in the preschool ministry and the children's ministry and the youth ministry. I needed those voices in my kids' lives. We have a MOPS ministry, mothers that will love you and who want to be there for you because they know how difficult it is to be a single parent. But I want you to know, dads, this morning, that you matter. Fathers matter. Let me just share some statistics from the father absence facing Black America today. These statistics come from PragerU University. And they share this. Children without a dad are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime. Children without a dad are 9 times more likely to drop out of school. Children without a dad are 20 times more likely to end up in prison. In 1960, 5% of the children born into Black families were born out of wedlock. That percentage grew to 18% in 1980, and in the year 2000, 33% of Black children, babies, are born into unwed households. And in 2015, that percentage is now 41%. Chicago is a hot mess today because of the destruction of the family. Of the home. Dads are absent. And when I think about my dad loved me. He loved our family. But my dad wasn't there a whole lot. My dad was working 3 jobs to make ends meet in our home. We didn't have a whole lot of money in our family. And there were many a days when my brother and myself, we were in elementary school and early junior high. I remember going with my dad to his after-hour jobs of cleaning banks and helping him. And he needed our assistance so that he could get home early enough to go to bed and to do it all over the next day. My dad worked himself to death By the time he retired, he didn't have much of a body left. But this was the way that he expressed his love for our family. I didn't hear my dad say the words, "I love you." It was in college when I heard my dad say, "I love you," for the first time. I never questioned my dad's love. But my dad wasn't always there. But there were some other men in my life to help pick up the pieces. One was my grandfather, my papa. I am who I am today because my papa. He taught me how to change oil in a car. He taught me how to fish. He showed me what it was like to be committed to a local church and to take care of the church. I appreciate all that my grandfather did in my life. I appreciate my Uncle Jimmy. My Uncle Jimmy was my Little League coach. He gave me my first opportunity to serve in a church. I served as his worship leader in his church. I led the song service. And then when God called me to ministry, Uncle Jimmy was there to help me craft my first sermons that I spoke in his church. And so if it wasn't for extended family, I wouldn't be who I am today. So single moms, extended family is so important to the upbringing of your child. The local church is so important to your child and who God wants them to become. It takes a godly village. And children who grow up in broken homes and don't have a relationship with their father leads to a bitter and angry heart. And we see how that is playing out across our United States today. Dads matter. Dads don't provoke your children to anger. Listen to them. Be there for them. Trust them. Encourage them. So that's the first part of that verse. The second part of that verse says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Dads, you need to discipline your children. You need to instruct them. Let's look at that word discipline first. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Dad, we have the responsibility to discipline our children. Moms need to be involved too, but you just can't pass that on to mom because you're too busy. Dad, you have a responsibility of disciplining your children. This is what the word says. Beginning in verse 5, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and are not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Dad, your children need your discipline. They need that structure, that protection in their life, and that is your responsibility. Don't just pawn it off on your wife. No. Paul, the Bible is clear. You must discipline your children. Tupac Shakur. He was a famous rap artist in the early 90s. He was gunned down in gang violence in 1996. This is what he said about his home life. He said, "I know for a fact that had I had a father, I'd have had some discipline. I'd have more confidence." He admitted that he started running with gangs because he wanted the things a father gives a child, especially to a boy: structure and protection. Dad, you are that to your children. You must discipline them and bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. That is your responsibility. Now, question. How many dads have done discipline perfectly with your children? Can I see your hands that you've been perfect at discipline? I don't see any hands, and I'm sure there's no hands in the dining hall as well. Well, when we make mistakes, Dad, the best thing that you could do to help build that or rebuild that relationship with your children is apologize. If you've crossed the line and you know it and you've wounded their soul, Dad, you need to apologize. And when you do, I promise you that will cover a multitude of sins. And I've had to apologize to every one of my children. Now, I'm sure they wish that I would have apologized more. But when I saw my faults, I saw how much I had wounded them, that apology went a long ways. You know, parenting is a humbling experience. You know, I remember Allison. She was a perfect baby. Now, she made up for it in junior high and high school, but she was a perfect baby. And I remember being with some friends at a Billy Graham crusade. And our friends had a little boy who was a little bit older than Allison was. And he was a screamer. And I thought to myself as I was holding Allison, you know, if that was the parent of that child, I wouldn't let my kid do that. And, having perfect babies, we tend to become full of pride. But then Kyle came along. And he was a screamer. And it wasn't something I could control. But but again, when it comes to disciplining our children and we go wrong, we need to learn to apologize. Now, how do we discipline our children? How do we create that structure that they will be encouraged to follow in our footsteps as dad? Well, Dad, it's really important that you live a consistent life. Don't live a life of hypocrisy. Don't be someone at church and being somebody else at home. No, you need to be that example of someone who's walking with God no matter where your children find you, walking a consistent life. Another way we help discipline our children is we need to teach them the Word of God. Not just model being a Christian, but we need to teach them. And we need to teach them right from the very beginning. In the book of Genesis. Genesis is so foundational for all of our life. And we need to let them know that God created the heavens and the earth. That all that we experience, all that we appreciate today is by the hand of God. God is behind it all because we live in a world that is godless, that does not believe that God created. And because they believe that God did not create, they have the opportunity, they think that they can just live their own life with absolutely zero accountability. And we know that that is a lie. God is real. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Dad, responsibility to discipline them and bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. We need to live our life way life is worth creating. A day boy to get ready for church because every Sunday he get on the bus is going to be here any minute and you need to be dressed and get on that bus. And little boy, as he was getting dressed, said to his dad, Dad, when you were a little kid, did you get on a bus and go to church? And the dad said, yes, I did, son. And the little boy said to himself, well, it probably won't do me any good either. That was a dad that was not living a consistent life, was it? You know, dads, and you're here today, I'm preaching to the choir, okay? Dads aren't to be dads who point kids, tell kids to go to church. We need to be dads who bring our children to church. To walk the talk, to talk the talk. Now, how do we do that? How do we be dads who influence our children for godliness? Who, when we share things with them, when we try to discipline them or instruct them, how do we do it in a way that it's going to be received well? That we are going to be heard as dad? Well, there's a parallel passage of Ephesians chapter 6 in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to read some passages this morning. If we're going to instruct our children and encourage them to live godly lives, we need to wear the right clothes. Okay? Dads, there's some clothes that we need to take off. And there are some other clothes that we need to put on. Verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says this, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have not and have put on the new self. We'll look at the new self in just a moment. But of the list that I just read, Dad, are there some characteristics? Are there some pieces of clothing that you're still wearing around your children? Dads, if you're wearing those articles of clothing spiritually, you know what? You're provoking your children to anger. You need to take those clothes off because those are not reflective of Christ. And you need to put on Christ's clothes. What are Christ's clothes? Verse 12. Paul says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you all also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Dads, are you wearing those articles of clothing? Those spiritual articles of clothing? Because as you wear that wardrobe, they're going to hear your heart. You're going to have a godly influence in their life. You're not going to be perfect, but God is going to use you mightily. But what is the foundation? The foundation is the gospel. Okay? The foundation of the gospel. Look at verse 13, the last part of verse 13. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So my question to you, Dad, is God, has God forgiven you? Have you humbled yourself as a child and admitted that you have failed God? You have not lived up to God's purpose and plan for your life. And there's a lot of broken pieces. The first place you must come to is God the Father. He can forgive. And if you allow Christ become the Lord of your life, that he forgive you of your sin, then you have the opportunity to forgive others, to forgive your children, to live a life of compassion, a life of humility, a life of love and kindness. But you can't do this on your own. It comes out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So bottom line, man, if we're going to be dads who not provoke our kids to anger and bring them up in the instruction and the admonition of the Lord, we got to have Christ. It starts with the gospel. And if you don't have Christ in your life, then I've just wasted 40 minutes of your life. You try to go home and you do this, try to do this on your own, you are going to absolutely fail. You can't do this in the flesh. And I want you to know this morning, church, that my kids are who they are today only because of the grace of God in my life and in my wife's life. God's grace covers a multitude of sin. But I praise God for the blessing that God has entrusted Susan and I with. God wants to provide that kind of relationship in your life. Maybe you're here and you've got children. You've brought them to church, you know, and now you've been fired. You're kind of still a consultant. They call you occasionally, but they're not walking with God. My friend, don't give up. God is still writing the chapters of their life. And it's your responsibility to just continue to love them unconditionally. Forgive them like God has forgiven you. Maybe there's still a lot of anger in your children's hearts, your grown children's lives' hearts, because you crossed the line when it came to discipline. Dad, it's not too late to pick up the phone and apologize for the mistakes that you've made. Can't go back and rewrite the past. But God can change the future if we just choose to put on Christ's clothes rather than the world's clothes. And let's just see what God will do. It really is all about Jesus. And I'm excited about our vacation Bible school this week and our children learning about the fact that when it comes to building our faith, our lives, our this construction project, concrete and cranes, the foundation is Jesus. And he is who we are to build our lives upon. And dads, we've got to model that for our children. Amen? So be encouraged, dads. You matter immensely. Your children need you. And there, if there's no relationship right now, it's never too late. You take that first step and see what God will do with that relationship you have with their children and their hearts. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, this is a challenging, challenging job. And we're not perfect men. And we make lots of mistakes. But I thank you that there is forgiveness at the cross. That Jesus, you took all of our mistakes and you nailed them upon yourself. And you took the punishment, that you took the wrath that we deserved. I deserved. Father, once again, we come to you and we thank you for your forgiveness. You want us to live a life of confession and repentance. And God, I pray that you would encourage each man in this room this morning and who's watching online. May they know that they matter to their kids. God, I pray that you would use them, and that you would encourage them. Thank you, Father, for what they mean to their spouse, to their children, to their grandchildren, to their nieces and nephews. Men are important. So thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have. Help us to be who you want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.